Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The body stops a cell at a time, but the brain keeps firing those neurons. Little lightning bolts like fireworks inside, and I thought I'd despair or feel afraid, but I don't feel any of that. None of it. Because I'm too busy. I'm too busy in this moment, remembering. I remember that every atom in my body was forged in a star. This matter, this body is mostly just empty space after all, and solid matter? It's just energy vibrating very slowly, and there is no me. There never was. The electrons of my body mingle and dance with the electrons of the ground below me and the air. I'm no longer breathing. And I remember, there is no point where any of that ends, and I begin. I remember I am energy, not memory, not self. My name, my personality, my choices all came after me. I was before them, and I will be after, and everything else is pictures picked up along the way. Fleeting little dreamlets printed on the tissue of my dying brain. And I am the lightning that jumps between. I am the energy firing the neurons, and I'm returning. Just by remembering, I'm returning home. It's like a drop of water falling back into the ocean, of which it's always been a part. All things a part. All of us a part. You, me, and my little girl, and my mother, and my father. Everyone who's ever been. Every plant, every animal, every atom, every star, every galaxy, all of it. More galaxies in the universe than grains of sand on the beach, and that's what we're talking about when we say God, the One, the cosmos, and its infinite dreams. We are the cosmos dreaming of itself. It's simply a dream that I think is my life every time. But I'll forget this. I always do. I always forget my dreams. But now, in the split second, in the moment I remember, the instant I remember, I comprehend everything at once. There is no time. There is no death. Life is a dream. It's a wish. Made again and again and again and again and again and again and on into eternity. And I am all of it. I am everything. I am all. I am that I am.
Welcome, everybody, to Aeon Byte. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your pompous of gnosis. I hope you're writing your own gospel, and I hope you're living your own myth. good to see everybody here. I see everybody in the chat room. I hope everybody's having a good Jupiter day and a good Thor day. And we got a lot of great stuff, and I am very honored to have today as our astral guest, Jim Fortin. Jim, how are you?
Miguel, I'm doing amazing, and thank you for the invite today. I do a lot of podcasts, and I'm really excited to do this one based upon what you talk about here. It's right in my wheelhouse, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, love what you're doing, and I think your message is so important today, and we want to unpack that. So much great stuff to talk about, and sure. So many red pills, as we like to call it. Sometimes I call them red pill suppositories because we need that stuff. We need it more than ever. And yeah. With us, too, it is great to have Graham. Graham is drying up from the hurricane. He and Lieutenant Dan. Graham, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Got the REO Speedwagon riding the storm out.
There you go. Well, good. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad people in your area are safe. And things can get back to whatever high weirdness they were before Mother Nature came around. And for everybody in the chat, as always, if you have any questions, please super chat them so we can get to them. Good to see everybody. Hey, Cosmic Karma Koala. Hey, Chester. Good to see you too. GT, Clark. How you doing? And yes, let's get started. Well, why don't we start with you and your superhero journey, Jim? I think like many of us, there's always a dark night of the soul, right? As we say in AA, we didn't come to these rooms because things were good, but we found right. The spirit. Or as a magician friend once told me, you don't go to the soothsayer or the witch at the end of town to find out where your remote control is. You go there because you're desperate. So tell us about your dark nights of the soul and how they transformed you.
What a great question. And they didn't happen that way for me, as they do for most people. And I'm sure we'll dig in here. When I was 15, I was already reading the Rosicrucians. It just resonated with me. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how I stumbled on it at 15 back in the 80s. We didn't have internet back then, but I stumbled on some reading material from the Rosicrucians. And I'm like, this makes sense. This makes sense. This makes sense. And when I was 22 in college, I told a friend of mine, I feel weird. I don't feel like I belong on this planet. How this is like the worst karma anybody could have, to be dropped off on this planet. What the hell did I do to deserve this? So I know a lot of listeners are probably laughing at that because they can probably relate. But I went through about 10 years after college where I was, based upon human conditioning, I was literally chasing the dream, the money, the success, all those kind of things. I did fall from grace there, but that's not what really set me on the path. It was basically aligned in the stars. I was adopted, didn't know it. My mother told me when I was 25. She introduced me to my biological mother, who I met 7 years later when I was 32. And when I had dinner, she goes, your brother-in-law is a shaman. And I'd already started reading about shamanism. And she goes, he's a shaman. And I'm like, I want to meet him now. And I met him that night, and I fell under the fold and started working with him, and that was 1996. And you talk about the dark things, and we talk about the Milton and all these kind of things. I've been through many, many, many very painful shamanic deaths working with him. And a shamanic death is where a part of the personality and ego dies so we can grow and evolve. But there wasn't any, well, you know, like the AA analogy, there wasn't any, oh my gosh, my life's upside down. I got to find God. I got to have this. Right. It was a natural progression for my soul mission on the planet. So I fell into it. And candidly, my final comment here is partly I didn't want to give up the life I was living. And I was kind of dragged onto a spiritual path, kicking and screaming, because I left for a little bit. And we can even mention this later. I got dragged back through beyond a 3D experience that I couldn't explain, which in that moment, I knew I had to come back because it was quite an interesting experience. So anyway, that's my past. It wasn't like the AA thing. It was just in the cards.
Indeed. Yeah. And we were talking about shamanism. I think that's a good starting point, because when people want a simplified version of Gnosticism, I go shamanism, you know, right. Go down into the underworld, deal with the spirits, come back with the healing, both psychological, physical, help the tribe out. Mystery sure. school, shamanism, hermeticism, shaman. Isn't that what your work is? Because going, you know, going into the subconscious, into yourself, it's just a shamanistic journey that people have been doing for thousands of years. So it's pretty simple, right, Jim?
Yeah.
Hard, but simple.
Hard, but simple. Let me add there. Have you ever heard of the Templeton Prize?
No, I have not.
The Templeton Prize goes to the human being every year that's created the greatest advancement in human spirituality. Mother Teresa has won it as an example of one of the recipients and what they look for. One of my other very good friends was nominated by Mikhail Gorbachev for the Templeton Prize. Mm-hmm. And my friend, who is a global luminary, he's still friends with the Dalai Lama and people like this. He was in my house and he said, Jim, he goes, if you truly want to help people on the planet, if you offer them God or money, you have God in one hand, money in the other, they're going to take the money because they can't eat God. And I've always remembered that. So the work that I do is more what I call 3D, meaning things in our life, health, wealth, relationships, but it's all wrapped in the ancient wisdom of and the neuroscience of shamanism, quantum dimensions, quantum fields, ancient wisdom. So my work literally is very, very visceral and very tangible, but it has the ancient threads of wisdom with it. So this being said, in the shamanism, where do you want to go from there for your listeners?
Yeah, yeah. And it still works. I mean, the shaman was supposed to come back and show people where to grow stuff, you know, worked as a therapist. I mean, it was, yeah. He was a very important figure to keep the entire tribe together. And so it definitely aligns very well. But you, we were talking before. Tell us about Don Juan and your brother-in-law, I think. And I love reading Carlos Castañeda. I think he tapped into something deep and primordial, again, deep out into the recesses and the core of the human consciousness. But tell us about that. It's an amazing story.
Yeah. So my brother-in-law, when the first night I was having dinner with my mom, she goes, your brother-in-law is a shaman. Like, I want to meet him. And I was already aware of the work of Carlos Castañeda because I was already listening to Wayne Dyer, who constantly talked about Carlos Castañeda. So I was aware. And I didn't believe. I mean, I did believe, but I didn't believe because I met my brother-in-law. And I think my mom told me, not him, that actually Castañeda wrote the books, but he wasn't the actual student. And literally, as I understood, as it was told to me, my brother-in-law, Don Javier, started apprenticing with Don Juan when he was a little boy. Mm-hmm. He met Carlos Castañeda, and what happened was a lady who was a metaphysician in Oaxaca, Mexico, named Connie Mendez, said, hey, I know this guy, Carlos Castañeda. I know you know Don Juan. She said that to Javier. He wants to meet Don Juan. So Javier went and asked Don Juan. Don Juan said, no, he's not of my path. He is of your path if you want. So Castañeda offered to pay Don Javier because he grew up a poor kid in Mexico. Mm-hmm. His dad had died. Castañeda offered him money to help him pen the books. He helped Castañeda pen the first couple of books. And I remember the first time I met Don Juan through the ethers, through Don Javier being a medium, he said to me, he calls me, you know, my formal name in Spanish is James. He calls me Jaimito, young James. Yeah. And he says, Jaimito, you think too much. When you think too much, you make yourself heavy. When you make yourself heavy, you cannot fly. Now, that's a pivotal point to the story. And that when I read the first teachings of Don Juan by Carlos Castañeda, it's very analytical, and in the back, there's a compendium of all the resources and all this. What I recognized in that moment, based upon that comment from Don Juan, who's always, and Don Javier, tried to get me to stop thinking and to tap into sense and divine mind, a true apprentice of Don Juan never would have written a book like that, with that kind of analysis at the back of it. because it would have been anathema. It would have been opposed to what they would have become as a shaman's apprentice, a real shaman's apprentice. So in that moment, I was on the path with Don Javier, and I've been on that path now for 28 years, as I told you a bit earlier.
Yeah, you've done a lot of work for a long time, helped a lot of people, yeah. But excuse me, what would you say is your view today? Because obviously these are very pivotal moments. Sometimes when people ask about an idea or a movie, I go, oh, that's so 2019. Things have radically changed. And as we're talking, I always have this theory about 2012 that, you know, just because 2012 happened, the ripples, ages don't change like overnight. Right. Yeah. Whether it's Aquarius or the Kali, there is that sort of gradient. And it's very painful and very, it makes people go, I guess, for lack of better words, crazy, because they don't understand.
As we're seeing. It
the age of Hermes, because this gods of change or these change archetypes is what we need to get through instead of the more lawful ideas and archetypes. But anyway, what do you think of today? And do you think that in your work, what worked still works, or have you had to tweak it based on the last 4 years?
Big question. Okay, so let's go here first. You know, so I'm sure you've read the Kabbalion, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All Hermes, is mine.
Yeah, Hermes Thrasmus Gestus. Okay. So in 1996, I was green, green, green. And I'm like, Javier, what do you want for Christmas? And he was very flippant. He's like, I don't know. Just give me a copy of the Kabbalion. Somebody got me for that years ago and I lost it. That wasn't true. He was wanting me to read the Kabbalion. So I wanted to share that, but in the late 1990s, he started every full moon, he would channel Don Juan. And Don Juan, every channeling, would talk about physics and the evolution of consciousness and the being and changes happening on the planet. And what we're seeing now is what I've been told about since day one. And back then, I was a different person back then. I'm like, yeah, whatever, blah, blah. I mean, what's years away, whatever, blah, blah. And in 2012 is when I had a major radical shift. December 21st, 2012, I was supposed to go to Boulder that day because I wanted to move from Dallas to Boulder. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to fly to Boulder to start looking for homes. I woke up that morning and I was throwing up violently. I was violently ill all day long. Don Javier called me that night and said, well, I guess you weren't supposed to be in the sky because of the frequencies. And I was so sick for 2 years, I wouldn't even do an 8-week coaching program because I didn't think I'd be alive at the end of 8 weeks. And doctors are like, we can't find anything wrong. Javier's like, listen to me. I'm telling you, it's energy. And back then I was like, what do you mean? I mean, I get it, but you don't understand. I feel really bad. It's like, you don't think I feel bad every day? And so for about 2 years, and it started getting better and better, but I was at his house and he showed me a placemat, a circular one, goes into your dish, and it had a bunch of concentric circles. And he goes, what we've done consciously, we've come from the outer, and the circles have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And on December 21st, 2012, we went through an energetic pinhole. That's what's squeezing you. And now we're starting to evolve again and grow. But we're evolving and growing as a higher frequency species right now. So what's happening, to make it long story short, most of the planet is still caught in the 3D. The artificial power, the governments, the social structures, the money, all these things that we're caught in and trapped in as human beings, whereas the consciousness on the planet is evolving. And if we don't evolve, we're going to be squeezed even more. And what that feels like is the chaos and going crazy and the fear and all these kind of things. The Shulman resonance is speeding up and the magnetic poles are also shifting right now. We are in major, major, major change on the planet. And the only way that I've been taught to navigate this is to raise your personal frequency.
Mm-hmm. And why is the change? Is this the shift of the ages? I mean, why now?
Shift of the, well, that's a great question. Why now? Those are one of those things we'll sit around for 1,000 more lifetimes trying to figure out.
Well, it's humans. It's like, is it my fault or is it just nature? It usually comes down. down to that.
Bob flipped the switch one day by accident and set the whole thing off. He had too much wine and flipped the switch, and here we go.
He was in some Mayan temple and like, whoopsie.
Exactly. Well. He got mad at the king one day, went and flipped the switch. But it's just, here's the thing. Let's go off the planet for a moment. Mm-hmm. So I live in Sedona, Arizona, mm-hmm. and we used to come visit, and Don Javier said, we're going to need to move here one day. Sedona is known as the home of the ancient ones to the Hopi. The frequencies here are very high. This place is a challenge for a lot of people. So when I say go off the planet, Don Javier was telling me one time that whatever we do on this planet, and I'm still trying, I don't even try anymore, but I'm going to use the word trying to wrap my mind around it, because you won't ever understand it analytically. You've got to go much deeper into the divine mind to understand it. But he said, humanity is an experiment. The entire race is an experiment. We've been on the planet 5 times. We've been wiped off 5 times. And we're actually in the process, unless we grow and evolve as a species, we are eradicating the species again right now. And he said, what's eradicated the human species before is what Einstein said. When technology supersedes or outgrows humanity, and right now we have AI, and there are all kinds of ways that people can use AI to destroy humanity. He goes, we're not learning our lessons as a species. So we're here, but he said everything that happens on this planet ripples to other star systems. So no other planet or beings will interfere with what's happening on Earth unless it will directly impact in a negative way their star system. So we're basically doing our own little experiment on the planet right now. Why? Back to your question, why now? There is no now, as you know. Why at this, whatever we want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. Why at this juncture? Why at this doesn't exist time? I don't know that answer. But then the word, however you pronounce it, eon, this is, as you know, believed by astronomers and astrologers or astronomers that it's like the space between the Big Bang. It's 1 billion years. We've had many, many, many Big Bangs, not just the one that we think, that we look at from the context of this planet with the human history we've been taught. We, you and I, our souls probably could have planned this 10 Big Bangs ago. And we intersect now in this space time in this physical body. But why now? I don't know. But what I know is this is my point of reference for this physical body. And I have to actually keep my frequency high or get sucked down the drain like a lot of humanity is getting done to them.
Yeah, it seems that people are going through a lot of tough times, especially addiction, mental illness, anxiety. It's a rough time for a lot of people, and it's heartbreaking to do that. So that's one of the reasons I try to do as many of these shows, because I tell people there is a solution. You have the power. Yeah. You are the final authority. I mean, you would agree, and your work does, is that our subconscious, our inner selves, is like a nuclear reactor. It has all the answers. Yeah. It's the Akashic record. So it's about diving in and finding this, right, Jim?
Well, let me add there is that people, because of Freudian psychology, et cetera, people think that we have the conscious, the subconscious, and then divine mind, universal mind is what some people say. Mm-hmm. I use that because people understand that in terms of just the social thinking. But what I've been taught and learned over the years is that there are only two minds. When I first read the Kabbalion, I was like, oh, okay. So I have my mind, and then there's divine mind. And one night, Don Javier's like, no, everything is divine mind. Mm-hmm. It's the consciousness and then divine mind. So what's happening, I guess, to kind of just dance around here a little bit, is I know that my safe zone, so to speak, and there is no safety in the world because you never know what's going to happen. And people chase 3D safety, money, investment, security, all these kind of things that are all superficial. And we all have them because we need them on the planet, but many people chase them. I know the only thing that is salvation for me is connection with what I call divine mind, people call it God, the quantum field, the force, whatever. That is the only place where I can get my answers. I can get my guidance. And even watching Don Javier over the years, I had mentioned to you, my family spent two nights inside Teotihuacan, the pyramids. Okay. When we went there, we knew we had to do ceremony there. Now, he's from Mexico, Don Javier, but he lives in the States. He's a U.S. citizen. We didn't know anybody at the pyramids. Same thing in Egypt. We didn't know anyone. So two guys in our group went to talk to the guards. They said, okay. They made a call. They made a call. They made a call. It went all the way to the president of Mexico, who gave us permission for my family to be inside the pyramids in Mexico for two nights. My point here is when we go, I was even like, Don Javier, I call him Don, how are we going to do ceremony? He's like, I don't know, but it will come. And he goes, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen during the ceremonies. We will go where we are led when it comes. So that's all him tapping into divine mind. One time I'd mentioned Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dyer wanted to meet him. I'm like, Don, Wayne Dyer wants to meet you. And he's like, let me ask. He asked divine mind. He asked his guides. And he comes back and he goes, nope, can't do it. I'm like, are you nuts? This is Wayne Dyer. He can help you. He's got a following. And that's back when that was big back then. I'm like, podcast now. I'm like, he can help you. He's like, I can't, not allowed. He's not on my path. So he's always asking for guidance. And our salvation, I'm constantly taught. I mean, this is my life. Everyone listening, get out of your stuff, meaning your mainly your lower frequency emotions, your fear, your shame, your pity, and your anger. Those are big ones. Get out of those because they lower your frequency. And then as a metaphor, as an example, you can't hear what you need to hear. You stay all lower frequency, and then we're trapped in this, I apologize for the word, this cesspool of human activity that's happening on the planet. You look at politics, all structures are coming apart in the United States. It's not like it was even 20 years ago. Look at the economies. The U.S. government, the dollar is collapsing right now. You look at social structures, they're collapsing. The whole world around us is collapsing. My only salvation, so to speak, for lack of better words, evolution of self. We must first go there.
No, makes sense. And well, I guess the question, when you talk about frequencies and vibrations, because you can tell about the atoms, because you see that a lot all over, you know, raise your vibration. Yeah. And we all take it for granted, like we take the words karma or enlightenment, and we don't think about them. But frequencies and vibrations, what are those, Jim, so people can understand what they're shooting? You mentioned the lower ones, base emotions, anger, resentment, all that.
Well, you know, and I'm sure everyone listening knows that the universe is physics. That is the language of the universe, mathematics.
Right.
Everything is frequency. Sound is what creates everything, hence the Big Bang. Everything is frequency. Your words are frequency. Your thoughts also are frequency because your body is bioelectromagnetic. Everything is frequency. When we hold the negative human emotions, fear, shame, anger, greed, all these kind of things, they're lower frequency. They pull us down. So what's been, and I'm going to use the word hammered into my head and those that work with Don Javier, is the highest frequency, as everyone listening at least knows analytically, is unconditional love. Most of us think love is an emotion. It's not an emotion. It's not a sentiment. It's a frequency. It's the golden mean. It's the golden ratio. This is, I mean, even science proves the body responds to that. And what I've been, you know, taught over the years and led to is we have to hold our frequencies at the highest level, which means find the most well-being and peace and love within ourselves. That there makes it less nebulous, more tangible, because we can experience it viscerally. Raise your love. Be unconditional love. And I'm going to tell you guys, all of you guys, it sounds great on paper. Holy mackerel. When somebody cuts you off on traffic, well, you know, as an example, all these things, or it's so easy. to watch the toxicity, which it's toxic of the news. The news is designed to scare you, to get you to watch it so they can sell ad space. That's always been the case, and they can make money from it. Everything that CNN is doing, everything that Fox is doing, it's all done for profit. We have to get out of that. So, you know, you've heard before, be in this world, but not of this world. Right. To raise our frequency, we have to come to not think that, but no, I am not of this world. I'm simply visiting. And it's great to have the planes and the jets and the cars and the homes. I have those things. Do not attach to them because you own none of them. They're all borrowed while you're here.
Well said indeed. Yeah, it's I like to quote saying 42 from the Gospel of Thomas, be a passerby. And of course, the Sufis and the Hindus have the idea life is a bridge you cross, do not build upon it. And sometimes I listen to that. Sometimes I get stuck.
Right? We're learning our lessons, Miguel. We all are. And you know, the Gospel of Thomas, Don Javier was talking to me about that last year. Oh, wow. And he's like, you know what? Because he's like, people call him Jesus, but his name was Lord Sananda, as you probably know, the being that incarnated that was had the identity of Jesus. And he was a Gnostic as well. But Don Javier was talking last year about, he goes, people don't even understand religion has become dogma. And I'm just going to tell you what he said, blame him, throw tomatoes at him, not me. But he's like, organized religion is toxic. It separates the being. It separates the self from the nature of being, the divinity of being. It separates humanity. And he was even talking last year about the Gospel of Thomas. He goes, people don't even know because it's not included about the Gospel of Thomas, which is even more profound wisdom for humanity. And people don't even know about it because you're so busy following the TV preachers and the politics related to it. I want to go somewhere here real quick. The politics of religion right now, like all this nonsensical human debate about abortion. This is all people that don't understand. Don Javier was telling me, and I read it, actually an audiobook I listened to is really good recently, last week. But Don Javier was saying that when a being comes to the planet and at least incarnates into an embryo, it's like, let's say you're traveling. Let's say you're driving from the West Coast to the East Coast and you're running out of gas. You've got to pull over to get gas to continue your journey. There are beings that need to come into plasma and karma, carbon, the body and the components of the physical body to pull into that gas station to refuel to continue on their journey. Right. They don't need to incarnate on the planet. But we on the planet and our limited understanding say, oh, that's killing a life. That's abortion. We're going to make that against the law. That's against God. You don't think God knows what God is doing? I mean, this being just needed that little contact. And you could say, well, the being was only an embryo for a week. That's a week in air quote human time, not cosmic time. Because a week here can be thousands and thousands of years somewhere else. So, but we let humans, they get into this because of religion, and it's all couched in religion for God, toxicity.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, very true. I mean, even the Gnostics talk about aeonic time, different time. And we have shows with psychics, and they always say, you know, the dead have a different time than we do, and we get frustrated with them. But they're like, hey, you know, our time moves differently than your time. Sorry.
Well, Don Juan one time said to me about that. He's like, there are no emergencies.
I love it.
Let me share something that will help people in a 3D way. This has helped me tremendously because I pretty much kicked the bucket in 2020, but it wasn't my time to go. Don Juan said to me, and this has helped me through everything for 20 years, and I'll take it apart. Three simple lines. Everything always has been, is now, and will always be fine. To your soul, everything has always been fine in the continuity of you. Everything is fine now in the continuity of you, and everything will always be fine in the continuity of you. But we get into our ego going, oh my God, fear, this, that, I'm dying, this person's dying, I lost my money, this happened. Get out of that. And when we recognize that no matter what, the continuity of self, because we don't have past lives, there's no such thing. We have, because life is continuity, we have different lives in the incarnations. So we have to recognize that continuity of self and then stop giving all of our power to this particular 3D incarnation that we're in right now. We just happen to be in a rock and roll tumultuous time right now, but we also chose to come here. Why? Why did you choose you, Miguel, me? Because we're light workers, we're healers. You know, our ego can look at what the hell was wrong with me. Was I drinking up in heaven? Why did I go down now? You know, I mean, I could have waited for this whole thing to blow over. But we come down now because we agreed to, because we have to, for what's happening on the planet.
Exactly. Yeah. And well said indeed. But and do you have a, when you work with your clients a little bit about your work, do you, I mean, you talk about the ego wanting things, but isn't that part of the ego's job? Food, sex, hoarding. Yeah. I mean, the ego is doing what the ego is doing. And I'm sure you tell your clients, or what do you tell, you don't have to be ashamed of that because your ego has a job. It has a job.
Yeah. Don Javier and I talk about all that a lot. We have over the years. When he started apprenticing with a shaman when he was a little boy, when he was around 20, Don Juan said, are the shamans that he's working with, time to go in the world and be a man. It's what they told him. It's his exact words to me. He went out in the business world for 20 years and became very successful. When he was 40, 41, he was told, leave every bit of that. And it's like, what do you mean? I've created this blah, blah. And they're like, no, leave every bit of it. He had no money going from a very successful businessman. He had already divorced his first wife, who he told he wasn't going to be married to for a lifetime. And he met my sister, and they had no money. They had to call my mother for bus fare to get from South Texas to Dallas. Wow. So they would have somewhere to live. They had nothing. And that's when he started over again on the path of a healer. That's what he was led. He always follows what he's led to. And he's always said, hey, have the homes, have the cars, have the money. He's my brother-in-law, so we talk about it. It's like, have the sex, have it all, but recognize it's all 3D. Do not attach to any of it. Because he comes to teach me. He's not a teacher, but he comes to teach me in dream time. If I need an answer on something, I'll just text him and say, hey, Don, I met somebody. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. What do I do with this business solution? Whatever, text me the answer. Excuse me. He goes, I'll satellite it back to you, meaning he'll send it back in dream time. Right. And he's always said in dream, well, where I was going here in dream time, one of the dreams I had was, because dream time is also non-physical, we're more alive and awake in dream time than you and I are right now. Mm-hmm. And in dream time, he said, you need to learn to lose the attachment to everything in your life, including your own life. Because you think about what you're, where you went with your question, well, these are all things we need. Yes, like the food for survival, we don't need sex, so to speak, unless we're procreating. We want it. We like it. I don't know about anybody listening, but it can be fun and whatever. But here's the thing, is we attach to these things, and that's the poison, is the attaching and defining us. Because many of us define ourselves by our money and all these kind of things, and we are none of those things.
No, for sure. Grandma, do you have a question for Jim, or how are things going?
No, things are going pretty good.
Graham's still listening to REO Speedwagon.
I'm just glad I got the power back. I was afraid that was going to be days.
Especially in Florida.
Yeah, I was just going to give a nod to Castaneda. That was one of my gateway drugs into some of the whole esoteric spirituality with his inorganic beings. I was reading there. It's like, those are what I called things that are not things, like dogs that were not dogs and such.
Let me add there, Graham, for a second. So one time back in around 2001 or two, I said, Don Juan, I said, because we used to sit with him every full moon. Don Juan, how come Carlos Castaneda wrote the books and not Javier? Because Castaneda's bigger mission was to introduce Toltequity to the world. So let me back up here even further. People think that, like the Lemurians, I know you've talked about that on your podcast, the Lemurians and different epochs of history on the planet are like different epochs. But what Don Juan was telling me is they are all from the foundation of the oldest of the old, which is Toltequity, which underlines all of them, but yet they don't call it Toltequity. They call it Lemurians and Atlantids and different things, right. But it's all from the same divine cosmic wisdom, and that's Toltequity. So Castaneda's role and his agreement was to come to the planet to introduce Toltequity, but Don Javier, his karma, his dharma is to come to the planet as a healer for the grids on the planet at this particular time. So that's why Castaneda went his direction and Don Javier still continues to go and live his direction. Sorry to interrupt, Graham.
No, that's okay. I was just saying about how Castaneda was one of my gateway drugs there. And while I recognize that Don Juan was very much a literary character, you know, I hadn't realized that Castaneda had never actually met him.
Oh, no, he wasn't literary. Well, of course, he was literary, but I'll tell you this. Castaneda nailed him in the books because, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. If he would come at you, people that worked with Don Javier, and he would come through Don Javier's body. Don Javier wouldn't even know what happened until later he listened to the recording. Don Juan, if he wanted to get on you, he would come at you like a hammer to a nail. I mean, he would squash the hell out of you, like just splat against the wall. He was tough, but he did it to make us grow even quicker in the earlier years that he was around. So the book is very accurate. Castaneda very well portrayed the persona of the actual Don Juan Matus.
Makes sense. And talking about your work, so let's talk a little bit about how you work with clients or your system. People want to come work with you. What is the process, or how do you lead them into the underworlds, to their true selves, or the dragon treasure that we're all afraid to, we don't want the dragon, but that's where the treasure is.
Yeah. The way I start people is literally what I call 3D, meaning because everyone listening right now, I guarantee you, everyone listening right now is dealing with things they don't even know they're dealing with, or maybe they do. My self-pity, my shame, my this, my that. All this toxicity literally keeps us from accessing higher function of mind. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like Don Javier was telling me one time in Dream Time, the reason people can't remember their dreams is because we have to travel through the astral belt when we leave the body. But what are you taking to bed with you? My fear, my worry, my bills, my wife, my husband, my this. So all of these things coagulate the energy, and you can't travel to have the recall that you need to bring it back from dream time. So where I'm going here is I do a 13-week program called the Transformational Coaching Program. Now, it's predominantly all about these 3D things that we have to start letting go of so we can have more in life, more fulfillment, more enjoyment, a better experience we're on the planet. But what I do when I sprinkle in that planet, out of the planet in that program, is a lot of ancient wisdom. And we do this for, we run 13-week cycles where we walk people through curriculums for 13 weeks and then coach them for 13 weeks to, I'm just going to say it, to let go of their human 3D cement shoes and their crap that hold them down. because these things you have behind you, like even the Ankh or different things in your logo, we can't access the higher frequencies, which we need to be accessing until we let go of the garbage, but we won't let go of it because we're afraid to. So that's my main mission is the transformational coaching program. It's kind of couched in 3D, but that's what people want. And I give them what they want, but actually deliver what they really need, which is many people that will enroll will say, I didn't even know I was spiritual, but holy cow, I'm spiritual. I didn't even know it. And I talked to a student recently and she's like, happy equinox. I'm like, whoa, I have really corrupted you. Haven't you never would have said that 3 years ago. And now you're saying happy spring equinox. So that's, we all have our path. Plus my podcast has millions of downloads. And right now I'm doing a series called Conversations with a Sorcerer, taking apart conversations of Don Javier, because he's very good at breaking things down to where our egos can understand it. And his whole agenda is just drop your human crap, and that will automatically raise your frequency and your vibration.
No, makes sense. And but what about, okay, we have, like you said, the 3D, the crap. God knows I have it.
Resentment, we all do.
Anger. Yeah, worry about money 2 months down the line when I know very well it's all going to work out. But I'm still going to become a drama queen about the whole thing. But what about the idea of trauma? And thank God we live in a time where people understand trauma. You know, I have this book coming out about Elvis. We did a show on Jim Morrison. They were shamans. They knew shamanism. But unfortunately, they didn't have the knowledge we have about how trauma is that part of us, those wounds that never heal, we all have from coming in. The Buddhists would say just being born is a traumatic event. The Gnostics, but we all have trauma from our childhood, person who broke our heart, some it's more severe, sexual abuse. You know, how does your program work? How do you work with people who have this trauma that's this blockage that they just to get to the other side? Break on through the other side, as Jim Morrison would say.
Probably one of the best questions ever been asked right there. Number one is right up the road, on my road here, I live on, small town Sedona, is a man that was Elvis's hairdresser.
So Larry Geller, yes.
He's right up the road for me, and we have a mutual friend. I'm going to ask him to be on the podcast.
Please do, because I use Larry's books, because Larry obviously was Elvis's spiritual teacher and saved his life literally many times. But I've asked Larry, I want to show you my book. You know, thanks to you, I wrote it. So if you run into him, just mention.
I'm going to go knock on his door, but somebody that also works with Don Javier, she doesn't do any kind of social stuff that we do. She's like, Larry's my next door neighbor, and she only lives a 4-minute walk from me. So I'm going to go talk to Larry one day soon. Yeah. And I better sooner than later, because I don't know how long he's going to be on the planet.
Last time I see him on Facebook, he lived a good life.
We're all getting there. Yeah. But okay, so to answer your question, that's one of the best questions anyone's ever asked me, because I just did my recent podcast episode on that without mentioning that. In 28 years, not one time have I ever heard Don Javier mention the word trauma.
Really?
Now, I'm like, busy as a shaman, I'm like, Don, how come you never talk about this? And he said that what happens, happens for your highest spiritual good and your highest spiritual learning. You're raped, you're abused, somebody steals, you have horrible parents. All these things happen for your highest learning and the moments that they happen. But here's what creates trauma for people. Trauma is not created by the event. It's created by the person hanging on to the event, because something happens. And then what they will do is they will want to hang on to that for years. Now, in my program, I hear people saying, you don't understand, Jim. I was sexually abused. When did it happen? How old are you now? 50. When did it happen? When I was 9. 41 years ago, you're still hanging on to the trauma. And what he was sharing with me, it could have been about me or anyone working with him. Many of us, in my words, not his, we associate with the trauma. We create the identity of, I'm a person who has trauma. And then we live in that identity, and then we can never eliminate the trauma, because we're living in the identity of a person who has trauma. Right. And he goes, all these things happen. We have to look at it. We have to learn from it. We have to bless it. and let it go. But we don't want to do that. And now even this, it's like a buzzword right now, trauma. Everyone's got, hell, you know what, Miguel, it's traumatic for me to be on your podcast right now. I'm going to sue you because of the trauma of your podcast.
Oh, you watch a crappy movie. That was 2 hours of my life. I'm traumatized.
Exactly. Trauma. And people get into trauma and trauma and trauma. And I've learned that whatever happens, I literally almost died in 2020. I've had a lot of these things happen. And I'm like, eh, it just happened. I know I'm going to leave the planet anyway. So why would I hold on to that? And I don't want to dismiss anyone or negate or any of that. And that, yeah, some major things can happen to all of us. The question is, what do we attach to and what do we hold on to? And then in my work, I tell people, at least analytically, what's the secondary gain you're getting for hanging on to that trauma? And many times it's a negative emotion. It's self-pity, it's fear, it's shame. It's something along the lines to get reward back to the physical 3D body again. Mm-hmm. We have to have the experience. You know, Don Javier and I were talking, and Don Juan buried him into his neck for like weeks in the desert and left him in the desert buried for weeks. I mean, they put him through the paces. I mean, he's told me stories that are not even in the books that are like, whoa. And I've never seen him get caught in anything in 28 years. He's always been like a cool puddle of water. Like you see in the pictures, the little raindrop that's all peaceful. I've never seen him angry. I've never seen him shameful. I've never seen him resentful. I've never seen him criticize. Always just pure peace. Also, we have to recognize from my point of view, when we start living into that space, that's our frequency. Mm-hmm. That's our frequency. We start attracting more of that frequency, but we love living in what society is perpetuating, trauma, trauma, trauma. Many times therapists are doing it. Miguel, you know why. Oh, you've got trauma. Come back now for 47 appointments at $150 an appointment, and we'll cure your trauma. Right. You know, it's. I don't mean to dismiss or belittle or minimize the topic, but in the way that I've been, I'm going to use the word indoctrinated by Don Javier, is don't get into it. Don't get into that stuff. Have the experience, learn, drop it, and move on. Mm-hmm.
But it still has to be faced, I'm sure. I mean,
yeah, he's like, acknowledge.
Yeah, you still have to go. There was like, I remember years ago, I did Tony Robinson's program, and he would talk, go back to that past with that, my dad threw me down the stairs, but then you become the director, put like a funny lie, change the scenery, change the sides where you're bigger than your dad, and just work it out and then move on. And, you know, it dissipates.
That's neurolinguistics. That's called messing with your changing your submodalities. Mm-hmm. Neurolinguistics, he calls it NAC, neural associative conditioning, but it's NLP from Richard Bandler and John Grinder back in the 70s. But Tony's literally created his own brand out of it, not to take anything away from Tony. But yeah, in hypnosis, same thing, is reliving the experience and letting it go. Mm-hmm. But Don Javier has always been one to move fast, even with those that he works with. Is, you know, think about shamanism. A real shaman can see you crying in the mud. I've been there, face down in 40-degree weather. And then it's like, okay, get up. I mean, there's no like, oh, poor you, poor baby. No, it's like, okay, get up and stop whining. Or, you know, it's always been a very tough path with them, especially Don Juan. Don Javier's, Don Juan, he's gentler. He's gentler and easier on you, but I've never seen him ever. And I've always been curious. It's like, Don, why do you not talk more about trauma? And he's like, it's just part of the human experience. Everyone has, from the second he said his words, second you pop out of the womb, you get spanked on the ass and you start crying. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We hold these things and we can't hold them. And then what they do is they fill us up like a balloon and we become bigger and bigger and more bloated and more damaged. Now, to your point also about the traumas of the Illumina's body, that's what Don Javier does in his work. He doesn't teach, but when he works with people, it's all earth, wind, and fire, water, air, the elements. And he helps people heal the holes in their Illumina's body that have been caused by things that have happened in our life or things that have happened to us. And that's what he does with everyone that works with him. His waiting list, though, is 800 people long. He works with each person individually. His list is 3 years long, and I think it's even shut down right now.
Wow.
So I didn't mean to give you a circuitous answer there, but I mean, it's just something I've always been intrigued by. He just doesn't, he's like, he kind of sees it as this best metaphor, speed bump. It happened, learn, hop over it, go. Because it slows down the evolution of the soul.
Yeah. And for the audience, we're talking here, test for yourself. Go to different types of modalities and figure out what is going to heal for you. Because, right, Jim, we're all different people. We have different needs. I mean, the only thing I always tell people, have an experience. Oh, and meditate. Shut up and breathe. I don't think meditation is so important. It's really the bedrock of all traditions.
But Don Javier on that taught me years ago. I'm like, do you meditate? He's like, no. He goes, I live in meditation 24/7.
Right.
Meditation is always being in that state of well-being, no matter what's going on around you in the world. We just don't allow ourselves to do that, because then we go sit down and we meditate. And we're like, om, om, om. We come out. Oh, crap. I got this bill from the power company or something. And we just blew away what we just did. We have to evolve. And that's like nirvana, heaven, or state of meditation 24/7. Mind you, folks listening, I'm still working on every bit of this. Trust me when I tell you, it's a process. But the key is having it in front of you and knowing the process you're working on. And for me, making it the foundation and priority in my life.
Yeah, and meditation is many things. Again, what works for you?
Different people. Some have
said golfing is a form of meditation.
Perfect.
I don't know if you've ever seen the legend of Bagger Vance.
Yeah.
That's that scene with the trees and the club, and Will Smith is showing him. That right there is, he's teaching him how to meditate.
Yeah, so, I get it completely.
So awesome. Well, as we get to the end of this wonderful chat, Graham, do you have any last questions or comments?
I was going to say, the only one I thought is in his work on hypnosis and some of the old school healing that way through the unconscious, what's his thought if he had encountered the work of Phineas Quimby and a lot of his stuff, and especially like mesmerism and maybe bringing magnets into modalities?
I'll make a short answer here. Number one is Mesmer is literally Charles Joseph Mesmer, back from like the 1800s. Mesmerism, which is basically a foundation of hypnotism. There's a lot of technical history about stuff like that. I tend to know that I do teach hypnosis, and I've done it for many years. But where I work from is that people will say to me, Jim, is it easy to get people into hypnosis? I'll say, no, it's easy to get people in hypnosis. It's hard to get them out of hypnosis. The reason why is we've learned where these very limited models of reality based upon the socialization in the world we live in, which we live literally like 0.1% of our totality, because we're trapped in it because of the hypnosis from culture. So what I tell people is this, in a very simple way, is we have to be mindful of what we're talking to ourselves about and entertaining all day long, because that is literally a form of hypnosis. The more repetition, this is neurological, the more repetition, I'm a bad person, I'm a bad person, I'm a bad person, I'm always broke, I'm always broke, I'm so, the F word, I'm always so fat, I'm always so fat, I'm always so fat, literally creates neural pathways in the brain. You create the neural pathways in the brain. Research has shown that habits happen 95% automatically and consciously. So you set these neural pathways in the brain. This is why you can never get out of that type of life, because you're creating the self-talk. We speak our lives into existence. We're creating the pathways in the brain. The pathways happen automatically. We automatically live in the pathways of the self-talk. We speak our lives into existence. Be careful with your words. So be careful and only speak of the realities you want to create, because everything is frequency.
Well said, and thank you for that. Well, we are at the end. First, a couple of super chats. Thank you, Cosmic Karma Koala, for the support.
And I've got an offer for you. I've got a golfer if you guys want. Free thing that I can give your tribe.
A golfer?
No, offer. I got a free offer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was going to do that right after this. I'm going to pull up your website, and then I can, of course, put this on the show notes. Thank you very much, Chester. And for everybody else, let's see. I've got his website here. It's already on the show notes, but please go to jimfortin.com. What else do you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, what fascinates me more than anything, and I think my path is, I don't think, I know it's going this direction. What does it mean to be? We are human doings. We're actually human beings, but we don't know how to be. So we're human doings in our culture. And we're taught you have to work hard. You have to struggle. You got to work till your eyeballs bleed. You got to hustle. It's all doing, but we don't look at the being. Now in psychology, we look at the being. What's the identity? What's the self-image? That's one level of being. I go deeper. What is the being even having the awareness of all these things that I'm doing? Mm-hmm. I simplify it. It's called a 9-day challenge. I originally named it the be, do, have challenge. You've got to be before you can do, before you can have. If you struggle with money, it's because you're not being wealthy at an unconscious level energetically. So this 9-day challenge, we actually renamed it the Get Unstuck Challenge, but it's a 9-day challenge. People are stuck. Well, I created that as the Be Do Have Challenge, but we changed the name to Get Unstuck because that's a problem people are dealing with. It walks you through 9 days of understanding yourself at a more profound, non-woo-woo, energetic level. And normally it's $97. We're giving it to people free that have stayed the entire time with us right now. I appreciate their time. I want to reward them for their time, but I also want to help them grow. We track all of our metrics. Most quizzes have a very low completion rate. This year, we've had thousands of people go through it. We've got a 93% completion rate of all 9 days, which tells me it's helping people understand more about what it means to be. So what you want to do is go to jimfortin.com/AEON, jimfortin.com/AEON, and you can download it there.
Okay. You heard it, jimfortin.com/AEON, Aeon, as it's spelled in the Greek. Check it out. I actually might do it myself. I am always looking for, I love this stuff, and I'm always looking for spiritual pathways. The more, the better for me, and this one I think is going to be a good one. So awesome. Well, Jim, first of all, well, Graham, thank you very much for keeping us company. Glad you were here, and you're safe, as always, in Florida.
Yep.
It was fun as always. And thanks to Jim.
Thank you, Graham. Go back to the REO Speedwagon now. Sorry to interrupt your REO for the day, but you can go back now to REO.
Jim, thank you very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate you, and good luck with all your ventures. And we look forward to the next time we chat.
I'm sure we'll talk soon. Stay put. I need to get your email when we're done. But thank you so much for everyone listening. It's been an honor being here and being able to serve. Thank you so much, Miguel.
Thank you very much. Everybody, have a good rest of your day. And like Julian Norwich said, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Take care, everybody.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.